You are listening to Pacific Beer Chat. We are a collective of West Coast beer bloggers sharing our opinions on events, issues, and well-crafted brews. We discuss both local and international issues and aim to educate and entertain. We are a part of the Hopped Up Network.
On this week's episode, we sit down with Dan and Tony of Fuggles and Warlock, two guys that really bring the geek to craft beer. But before we get started, we got a review from a listener. The title was, "These Guys and Gals Are Great." I'm going to butcher the username, MaladroitRobot7of9, and the review says, "Hey, what you looking for? A podcast that dives headfirst into the mash tun that is BC's craft beer scene? Oh, are you? Then look no further, friend. These loose-knit band of beer bloggers start with a hefty grain bill of interviews, then dry hop with Pacific Northwest knowledge and personal opinion to the point where a perfect balance is struck. The final product informs and entertains and leaves you wanting more. Drink it up." Thanks for that great review. We always love getting them, and if you want to leave one, we'll read it right on the air.
Before we start, here is a word from the Hopped Up Network.
Hopped Up Network is a group of independent beer podcasts devoted to providing insight into our local craft beer communities. You can visit hoppedupnetwork.com to hear more podcasts like this one.
Are you a discerning beer drinker? Do you drink beer for the tastes of blackcurrant and old leather? Can you tell the difference between Simcoe and Citra hops, despite whatever type of beer you might be drinking? Yeah, sorry, that's not this podcast. You want to listen to somebody else. We here at the Speak Podcast do regular beer for regular people. Joe Sixpack Beer at Joe Sixpack Tastes. That's Rob, Adam, and Pete, proud members of the Hopped Up Network. Three guys, two beers, one show.
Without further ado, here's the episode.
So tonight I find myself at Fuggles and Warlock in Richmond. Why don't you introduce yourselves?
My name is Dan Collier, and I'm Fuggles of Fuggles and Warlock.
And my name is Tony Iasi, and I am the Warlock.
All right, so there's got to be a beer or brewery that sparked your interest in craft beer. Do you want to share?
Sure. Craft beer really started for me about 10 years ago, and the beer that did it for me was actually the Green Flash West Coast IPA. It really caught me off guard because I didn't actually know that beer could be that flavorful, like most people in this world. I was raised on lagers. My dad drank, my dad drank like Canadian, Budweiser, all that beer that, you know, your parents drink, and that's all I knew until someone poured me a Green Flash West Coast IPA.
That's a good one.
That is a good one. For me, it was Dogfish Head's 90-minute IPA. I think that was kind of a life-changing beer for me at that time. Like Tony, I was just mainly into lagers and into some pale ales, but they're relatively boring in comparison. And just the flavor burst that I got that I'll never forget was pretty cool, because they just happened to have it at this little liquor store across the street from where I live. And I don't know why they had it at that point, but yeah, it was a fun thing to discover.
I think there was a little bit of distribution of theirs years back here.
Yeah.
And it kind of got pulled for some reason.
It did, yeah.
Both of you guys started out as home brewers. Where did you guys meet, and how did this Fuggles and Warlock in the original iteration happen?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's a story that we do like to tell. I ran a bar in Richmond called the Pump House Pub. It was located at Blundell in Number 2. It was we were pretty much one of the first places in Richmond to start carrying craft beer, and I helped build their menu and discover all these great craft beers. And from there, I was like, you know what? I'm going to try to make my own beer. And so I did, and like most people trying to make beer for the first time, failed miserably. But at the end of the day, even though it was not a very good beer, it was beer, and that like really got me going. And Dan Fuggles here was actually a customer of mine. He was a regular, and just chatting one day, I found out from him that he also is taking a lot of interest in making craft beer, and from there we decided to try to make a beer together.
Yeah, so like Tony, I was attempting to do a lot of home brews, yeah, they didn't turn out too great. But we got talking, and we thought, well, yeah, maybe put our efforts together and try something. from that point, it seemed like whatever we did from that point just tasted amazing, and it seems that Tony had all the knowledge that I lacked, and I was hoping vice versa, but we kind of had different perspectives and different tastes, too. I mean, beers I like are a little different than what Tony's like.
Oh, for sure. That's what Dan doesn't like is kind of like what I like and vice versa. So he's all about, you know, like super hops and no body, and I like to have a beer with like some, you know, malt background. And it just, honestly, between the two of us, when we created recipes, it kind of like balanced out to this perfect harmony.
Yeah, so whenever we could agree on a recipe, it usually was turned out to be a good beer.
Where did the name actually come from?
Well, Dan can start with his, because mine's a little bit more complicated than his.
Yeah, so they're basically our nicknames. The reason I got my nickname of Fuggles was, Fuggles is a really traditional, noble English hop, and it's one of my least favorite hops, all the hops out there, and it was always my go-to swear word, so I would just always say, oh, Fuggles, and a lot of people overheard me saying that, and the name stuck, I would imagine.
Yeah, and mine is was actually created by Tom Orange. He's the president of Fuggles and Warlock, and he was also a regular at the Pump House Pub, and every time he would come in, I'd be chatting with one of the boys at the bar and talking about either like Magic the Gathering or Star Wars or some new video game, and he'd always come up and be like, what are you guys talking about? This is like some Warlockian talk. And from that point on, anytime I was talking nerd culture, he was like, oh, there he goes, look at that Warlock go. And it kind of just really stuck from there. And we just put the two nicknames together, Fuggles and Warlock. It's a cool name, intrigues people that don't know who we are. They want to know what we are and who we are.
Yeah. It was actually Tom that coined us on Twitter one day. He said, one day you guys should have a brewery and call it Fuggles and Warlock Craftworks.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I remember years ago, I don't remember who was holding the bottle share, but I met at least you, Dan. And you already,
yeah.
I hadn't met you guys yet. I hadn't tried any of your beer, but there was already a name for you guys. Everyone knew who you were. I think you handed off a couple bottles. I'd have been, did you already have like 8-bit back then?
It was 8-bit and probably our strawberry.
I think it was a takeoff of Monty Python and the Holy Grail or something.
Oh, yeah.
Classic.
Way back.
Or Monty Python and the Holy Ale.
That's it.
Yeah, it was a Belgian triple that we made.
Yeah, it was a Belgian triple.
But I guess, did you guys start getting into any like homebrew clubs at all? Or were you just your own homebrew
club? Yeah, we're just our own, basically.
We honestly, we don't really have any formal training in making beer. We actually taught ourselves, and we taught each other things that he would learn, he would teach me, and things that I would learn, I'd teach him. And lots of hard work, lots of research, and lots of practice, and it got us to where we are now.
So a lot of our initial recipes turns out to be, you know, what our best sellers are today. So the very first beer we made was our 8-bit IPA, which kind of turned into the Super 8 IPA. The Super 8-bit is still a really popular beer that we do every year. The reason why it's called 8-bit was it 8 different hops that we use for it. I think the second beer we did together was our strawberry.
Yeah, that's a really funny beer. We actually went out to make that beer because our wives were always complaining that we don't like hoppy beer, we don't like hoppy beer. So Dan and I, you know, went out and made a beer that they would enjoy, and who would have thought that beer would take off the way it did, and it's still to this day one of our best sellers.
Yeah. And I think the third beer we made together was our Bean Me Up Espresso Milk Stout. So that too is just still another fan favorite. So it's funny that our first few beers are kind of our mainstay still right now.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, we're just having fun back in the day.
Well, I guess every brewer, every home brewer has made that one terrible batch. Do you remember what that was?
Probably our very first beers, probably.
Yeah, no, like when I came into, you know, home brewing, my first attempt at a beer was a green tea lemon
tea one.
Saison, which was a little bit complicated for someone who knew nothing about making beer. And it showed. It really did show. But I had a lot of fun doing it. So if I didn't make that beer, I wouldn't be sitting here right now.
Did you drink it?
Of course.
It wasn't that bad then.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it was not very good. But you know what? It had alcohol.
I mean, even if the first beers were terrible, we're happy that they're actually just beer. Like, you know, we actually were able to make beer. So.
You had a couple forays into professional brewing before you got this space. Could you kind of touch on sort of the, was it contracting or gypsy work with Dead Frog, and then at the former BRB brew pub here in Richmond?
Yeah, I think, you know, when we're still homebrewers, we were lucky enough through Tom, and he was with Beerthirst, that they kind of set us up with a lot of cool collaborations. The first one we did was at Alameda Brewing in Portland. We did our Super 8-bit there, and that just had real good success when they brought it back here to Vancouver. And so we kind of continued there. We went to American Brewery in Washington. We did our Draft Punk IPA with them. Nice light rye IPA, and then we went to Tenaya Creek in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And then we did the Fuzzy Vegas Peach Saison there with them.
That was a good one.
Yeah. So that was fun. It was a great start too, and really cool for us to check out all these really cool breweries in the States and their setups, and what was different about all those setups. Yeah, you could take it from there.
Yeah, like I think being gypsy brewers at the very beginning really benefited us in the end, because each brewery and each brewmaster kind of has their own way, the way they do things, and we basically picked up, you know, little bits and pieces from each place that we worked with and made beer with, and so it kind of like defines us now who we are. Is we took the best from all worlds, and it's awesome. Like it's better to just look at something and not see one way to do it, but there's multiple ways to do something. And so it worked out well.
Yeah, and then, like you said, it was just great to see different setups. And from there, you know, we knew exactly what we wanted when we were building our own setup here in our own facility. But, you know, after all the contracting, the collaborations that we did, we were lucky enough to have our space at what was formerly Big River Brewing here in Richmond, and so we had a nice little brew pub set up there, and that was fun for us to, for the first time, to get really hands-on onto a whole professional setup and how that worked, and we learned a lot there. As we were brewing there, we started building this facility, and then just from there, for about a year, we contract brewed at Dead Frog. I think the biggest difference from us compared to everyone else contracting there was we're the only ones to actually go there and brew everything ourselves. So we try to be as hands-on as we could. And I think in the end that really paid off for us.
For sure. That's a good point.
You went from homebrewing to doing the gypsy and a bit of contracting. How did this fairly big facility come about?
Yeah, so like I said, while we were at Big River, we had our course on building this space, it took a while for us to find kind of the perfect spot, but we're really happy with where we ended up here. And you know, compared to a lot of Vancouver breweries, we had the luxury of the amount of space that we were able to get. So we really tried to plan ahead for expansion, and we've gone through three expansions already now, and there's still space left to expand, but been nice knowing that we have that space compared to a lot of stories you hear where, you know, people quickly run out of space within a year and they're having to move everything. And so
it was a little bit of a journey, to be honest. There were at the point that we found Richmond as our home for our brewery, there had been no other production breweries in Richmond, so working with the city of Richmond and everything that comes along with it, it was a journey for both sides, because it's never been done before. And now with, you know, like Britannia opening up, they used us as their base and what to expect in the future. And you know, it worked out, it very well worked out well.
Yes. It just didn't follow that whole get more space.
That's like because we went to so many breweries, you know, when we were gypsy brewers, like the number one complaint that we heard everywhere is there's just not enough space. So we for sure got a space that was way too big for us to start with on purpose.
And yeah.
Thank God we did.
Yeah. And it'll still be too small fairly quickly.
It's filling up very quickly.
One more expansion and we're full.
then you got to strong arm the owner of the building for the other side.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyone that knows you guys or knows the brand knows that you guys are fairly big geeks when they meet you, right?
Yeah.
What's kind of the inspiration for the brand? So your labels, the beers, they've all got deep-seated geekdom.
They go right back to our homebrewing days, and we're probably even edgier with copyright back then, but
when you're just a home brewer, it's easier.
And we just try to max out on our geekdom, and we still have that spirit right now with everything that we do. So we try to, as much as we can, incorporate some kind of video game reference or sci-fi or pop culture or something out there. But and it's strong with our branding. A lot of anime, a lot of references there for sure, and people like it, and we're happy that so many beer geeks are actual geeks as well. So
yeah,
I know the branding really represents who we are. We like everything from Star Wars to Doctor Who to like obscure Japanese animation, and it does show in our branding. A lot of people might not get a reference. Because some of them are, you have to be a real nerd to get picked that up. But the people that do, they thank us. And our brand is all about having fun. It's just who we are, and that's what we want to do.
You guys have some of my favorite art in the industry right now. Who does your artwork?
So my wife does all the illustrations. Her name's Yuri, and she's just very talented for what she does. So, everything from our anime styles to, she's just gifted in the many different styles that she could do, and as far as the labels designs themselves, everything other than those illustrations I do. I used to be in the field of graphic design before I got into brewing, so that kind of naturally worked really well for us, and to be hands-on for me to do the beer concepts and the artwork is probably what makes it a little more true to what it is, because I'm the one doing it.
And be very, very, very thankful that it's Dan and Yuri that do the labels and not myself. Otherwise, each of your labels is going to be black and white with little stick figures on them.
So when does that label come out now?
Yeah. Challenge accepted. Yeah.
Make that an experimental IPA or something.
Yeah, you could be on a cask or something.
I really do like the homages to the geekdom. Do you have a favorite label so far?
Gosh, there's many.
And they can go all the way back to the homebrew days if you want.
Yeah, I'm just trying to, honestly, we're not going to release a label that we don't absolutely love. Yeah. So each and every label has a little piece in my heart. But, the Hot Troop Time Machine, that's pretty awesome. I don't know, Dan, what about you?
Yeah, for me, my favorite must be the Chrono IPA, which is a reference to Chrono Trigger and probably one of the most beautiful labels I think we've done.
I love to bring up the YouTube videos you guys made as you kind of worked your way towards opening. Can you kind of explain where those came from? And
We always had a fascination of doing a video with the lightsabers, and we thought, what's more cool than a lightsaber shooting out of a tap handle? So from that idea, it was just basically Tony and I and a friend that had a video camera, and we're like, let's do this.
Let's be serious for a second here. Who doesn't want to run around the wilderness pretending to be Jedi with lightsabers in your hand? No one.
Yeah.
Everyone. Listen, everyone wants to do that. And you know what? It was a dream come true. I was a Jedi for a little amount of time.
Yeah. And it was fun to shoot. It took about 6 months for me to edit because I did frame by frame But I think all the hard work paid off, because in the end, it looked pretty good.
Don't have as many animators as the Star Wars fans.
Yeah. No. I certainly don't.
Darn.
I know, it was actually pretty funny. And Dan's like, I've been working on it all day. Check this out. And then it would be like half a second. Zoom.
Yeah. I'm like, that's like 120 frames that I drew, man.
It was so funny. It was awesome. It honestly took him a long time.
The fact that it was done that way is amazing, because it looks really flawless.
Yeah, thanks. It's probably the similar equipment that the professionals use, so I wanted to make it look as official as we could. So.
And it did. Yeah. But I did hear about it a lot before it came out.
I know, it took a long time.
Yeah. Understandable.
Yeah.
But I can see why you don't make too many of those videos.
No, that's for sure.
All right, let's talk a bit about your tasting lounge.
Sure.
Sort of like from the artwork to the arcade games, the tap handles. It's really kind of inviting and nerdy. Where did the inspiration for the actual tasting room come from? It's not your typical.
Yeah, I mean, we found that a lot of tasting rooms that we went into, you know, are nice and comfortable, but, you know, you'd have maybe a drink or two and, you know, you'd be maybe wanting to go somewhere else. But we just wanted to make a space that was kind of more like your neighborhood pub than anything. So something really comfortable. So we use a lot of wood, a lot of natural wood around, you know, tried to make a fun space. So we set up our, you know, arcade systems that have about 20,000 video games that you could play for free. So a lot of people just come here, drink, play video games. The other thing that we made sure was we have a lot of TVs, so we always have sports and things going on. So a nice big 65-inch TV. And right in the middle of the brewery, and the whole experience, you just want to make it enjoyable, and it's like, because you want to stay and stick around.
Yeah, like, we want people to come down, have a beer, get a growler fill, and challenge us at games like Mario Kart. And plus, have I ever mentioned that we have a TARDIS in our tasting room? That's right, a TARDIS. How awesome is that?
Pretty cool, yeah. Go back to the games. What systems do you have? Just not all of them.
Oh, God.
Uh-oh.
Just a couple.
All
maybe
of
five.
Them. No, yeah. Lots of them.
All the classic ones I must have a couple of. You know, I don't have the current consoles, and I did that for a reason, because I'd never get any work done if I did. But everything before those, I think I have pretty much every console. It was me. Like,
well, I did literally see someone play Mario Kart Wii up there.
Yeah, we do have all of those. I think, yeah, Tony has more than even I do.
It's,
Tony was more of a game collector than I.
Yeah, you know what? I was that kid growing up that even saved, like, the box and the instructions and made sure it was in good shape. That's just who I was. And, you know, how many other people out there still have their original Secret of Mana or their Chrono Trigger?
I never had those.
It will always have a place in my heart, and, you know what? Gaming is just so much fun. Gaming and beer. The end.
Yeah, like, they work together for sure.
Especially together, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I guess, what's your favorite game to play on these systems here? Do you have one?
I'm pretty good at Mario Kart.
Yeah, we do a lot of Mario Kart.
But I like everything, to be honest. I'm not very good at, like, fighting games. Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat, I'm not very good. But if any other game, pretty good at.
Maybe we should play one of those later.
We should. Like a Donkey Kong match or
something.
Yeah. Go real old school. So, yeah, we play a lot of Galaga on the system, so we're always fighting for the high score. Every game keeps its high score, so we're always trying to put our initials in there.
That's awesome. I remember that.
Yeah.
Let's move into the brewery now itself.
Sure.
What's the brew house size?
Yeah, it's we have a three-vessel system. It's 20 barrel. We've got mash tun, kettle, and whirlpool. Whirlpool is like a lifesaver for us. You know, it makes us be able to do back-to-back batches quickly, because we have to, for our small fermenters, we have to brew twice, and for our larger fermenters, we have to brew three times. On average, for the higher ABV beers, we have to brew four times. So, takes a lot of brewing to fill up one of those bad boys and to bring you all that delicious beer we make, and
You've had some serious growth in your capacity. What did you start at, and what are you at now for capacity? Just rough estimate. I know it's always hard.
For fermenters, we started off with six 40-barrel fermenters, and then from there we bought three 80-barrel fermenters, and then now, a few weeks ago, we just bought three more 80-barrel fermenters, so we'll kind of triple the capacity of when we first started.
That's pretty exponential. And that's from, was it late 2015?
Yeah, it's almost 2 years
now.
Yeah,
almost 2 years.
It's massive growth then.
Yeah, it's been great.
Let's talk about your beers a little bit. What is your core lineup?
Our core lineup is Pixel Pilsner. We've got the strawberry personas, West Coast IPA.
Common.
Yeah, it's common. We just added Kiwami Plum Sour, also available in cans, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And
Destiny
and
IPA.
Then Destiny IPA is our core lineup.
It's a pretty solid core lineup. It's a little bigger than a lot of breweries.
Yeah, and soon we're adding to that is our gin and light pilsner.
Yeah, GLP.
So nice.
Coming pretty quick here.
So that's going to be in cans or bottles or something?
Cans, 6-pack cans, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of people wanting that for a long time, I think.
Yeah, it's people are knocking at the door every day. When's it ready? When's it ready? We're like, we promise it's coming.
Yeah. Soon.
Yeah.
And you hear it here first, but we're also adding a pale ale to our core lineup very soon.
It's not.
We broke down and we're like, okay, we need to fucking.
Not everyone knows that information. Yeah. Now you do.
Nice hoppy pale ale.
It's gonna be pretty hoppy without all the bitterness. So it's gonna have all the flavor, but it's still gonna be a beer that you're gonna drink a few of. So
nice and juicy for sure.
Ah yes, very nice. I guess you guys have got the really core, solid core lineup, but you also excel on one-offs and seasonals. Can you talk a little bit about your kind of seasonal lineup?
Yeah. So. Got two series. One is called the Experimental IPA series, and so what we try to do is every 2 months or so we always try to come up with a new or different IPA. Sometimes we'll rotate the same IPA from last year, but we're always trying to do something new. We actually have something new going right now, but yeah, so like I said, every 2 months or so we have a new IPA release. We also have a limited series, and usually that as well, we have every 2 months or so, we have a new sour that comes out, and so we're always trying to change the flavors of our sours, and our most recent one being a pineapple sour.
Yeah, just finishing my glass right now, it's really tasty.
Yeah, it's nice and juicy for sure. And then, yeah, there's other limiteds that we do, but those are our main two things that we release in limited ones are the IPAs and the sours.
We have so much fun doing them. It's love looking forward to the next one, and Dan and I always, you know, hit our heads together and we're like, what can we do next? And
yeah, what's the latest hop? What's the newest hop?
We're always researching on, like, you know, what's hit the market that people haven't seen yet, and you know, that's what we do. We keep beer weird, keep beer new, and wait till you guys see. There's some exciting stuff coming.
You guys got the Kettle Sour program that's quite popular right now.
Yeah.
How do you come up with the new Kettle Sours? It's just like the next fruit you can find, or?
Yeah, I mean, we try to explore stuff that other breweries aren't trying as much as we can. And just try to get cool, exotic ingredients. And, you know, when we say there's a fruit in our beer, we kind of mean it. So yeah. We don't go light on it, that's for sure.
No, you don't. Your distribution is kind of really taken off. Where can your beer be found these days?
Yeah, so we're slowly working our way across Canada. So now you can buy our beers in Alberta, Saskatchewan, Manitoba. And then soon in Ontario. And then, we're looking forward to that for sure. And then internationally, you can find us in South Korea, Japan, Taiwan, Brazil.
Yeah.
It's been pretty cool to have our footprint there.
You seem to have a bit of like a sales team almost going for you in South Korea right now. And have you both been over, or is it just you?
I've gone a number of times, at least once a year there. But it's been really cool to see. For us, what I like most is it's a real booming craft beer industry there right now. And especially in the last, I would say, 8 to 10 months, it's really starting to bloom there, and you know, their local beers are quite a few years behind all of our game here in North America, but you can see them really trying to catch up, and there's a lot of really good American beer there, but we're pretty much the only Canadian brewery there. I think there's only us and a little bit of Moosehead, and so it's really not competition for us. So
Mission Springs had been there for a while.
They were there, and I think they pulled out now. Too bad, because they had a pretty cool space there when they were there, but so right now we're pretty much the only ones, and our team that's promoting us there and distributing us there are really pushing us hard, and it seems that a lot of the locals are really like not just the different styles of beer we do, but our branding seems to be hitting it hard there, so we're really pleased with how people are reacting.
Who would have thought that geek culture would go well in South Korea?
Yeah. Who would have thought?
Yeah. They may play video games there.
Yeah, exactly, or anime or whatever you call it. They're big into that whole culture, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And you guys even do you still do an exclusive beer for, is it a liquor store chain there? Or?
Yeah, it's one of the biggest bottle shop chains there, and I was told it was the one of the most well-known and popular local Korean beers there. So for draft, they have a different local brewery making it there, but with the current laws of Korea, none of the Korean craft breweries are allowed to put their product into bottles, which is kind of weird. Only macro breweries are allowed, which is a very strange law. So we're doing it for them, basically, by producing bottles for them. So it was big news, I guess, in Korea, because it was like really the first local brewery that had a product in bottles and done from a Canadian brewery, which is also pretty cool to them. So in the end, that was kind of cool how that worked out. And it's really selling well, and they're continuing to order that product from us. So it's been cool.
That's awesome. I think it's almost an Asian problem. There's a lot of Asian countries where they're not allowed to package their beer. My dad and stepmom were in China, and it was only growler fills. My sister was in Southeast Asia, and it was all growler fills at most. So I think it's just, there's a lot of Asian countries that are behind the times with the alcohol laws.
I think so, yeah. And I think that's slowly changing. And for what's really changed in South Korea, that's really caused, I think, the boom in the last, 8 months, like I said, was they're finally allowed to crowler their stuff. So almost every bar has a crowler machine. And they're able to, not just in the breweries, but every local bar, they're able to fill a crowler if it's a local Korean brewery's beer.
Okay.
And with that movement, it seems that that's really been a key to that craft movement taking off.
That's awesome. I wish we could do crowlers or growlers and stuff in bottle shops here. It works well in Alberta.
Yeah.
I know you've got to be careful. You got to make sure it's cleaned properly so the beer is treated well. But sometimes you just don't want to drive to the Okanagan to get a growler fill from one of their breweries.
Exactly.
It'd be nice just to be able to pick it up here. Because, you know, we're all beer geeks.
Yeah.
You want to be able to get the new, latest, greatest.
No, when I saw that in Alberta, I'm like, why can't we do that back?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I go to Edmonton for work quite a bit, especially last year. And there's a great Sherbrooke Liquor.
Yeah.
And I would get growler fills of De Molin. growler fills. And, you know, I'd get a growler fill of something from in Calgary. And
yeah.
It was great. Fly with stainless steel. Yeah. You guys did just expand. Is there any more expansion in the future, or?
Well, there's some space left there.
Yeah,
so
I noticed
I could
that.
See some more tanks.
Where there's space, there will be more tanks.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sure that's going to happen eventually. Not too long, probably. Yeah.
And I mean, you got your canning line back there and your bottling lines. I'm sure you could kind of move them if you need more space.
Yeah, there's some fiddling that we could do there, but slowly running out of other storage space too. So. Yeah.
Oh, well. When we first got here, we're like, we have room for days.
Yeah.
And then now it's like, we have no room.
You have room for hours now.
Yeah.
Do you have any exciting events or releases, kind of anything coming up you guys are going to be promoting or being involved with?
Well, we're in a bunch of collabs right now that we're pretty excited about. So we just did a collab with Four Winds Brewing. And
yay. It was 4 years in the making.
Yeah, I would say 4 or 5 years in the making. They're our neighbors here, and we've always been talking about ideas, and we're this close to brewing a collab once. That was probably a year ago, and then we thought it was a really weird idea, and just as we were going to go brew it, another brewery just came up with the exact same idea that week, and we're like,
blame it on tunnel traffic.
Yeah. Yeah, like, okay, so back to the drawing board. We did that quite a few times, but now we finally settled with something that we thought was really cool. So
it's going to be worth the wait.
Yeah.
But it's still top secret, so no one copies it.
Yeah, we can't tell you what
very,
it is.
Very, very top
other
secret.
Other than that, we know it's going to probably be very tasty.
It will be very tasty.
And yeah, we're working on a new experimental IPA right now. And what else are we doing? Yeah, so there's a whole bunch of other collabs that we're working on.
Did, we just did the Across the Nation with Central City.
Yeah, so that was really cool. So they chose us as the BC brewery this year for their Across the Nation collaboration box set they do every year now. So
that's a pretty cool box set.
Yeah.
To be able to involve one brewery from every province and territory,
it's quite
other
a
than Nunavut, because they don't have a brewery yet. It's in the works, it sounds like. So.
Oh, really? Yeah.
But
it's
neat, because not everyone gets a chance to try some small brewery from Saskatchewan or a small brewery from the Maritimes.
Yeah, I know. It's a great idea, and it was a lot of fun, and especially playing with Central City's equipment is even cooler.
Yeah, we thought our setup was pretty cool, but that's just a whole nother level there. So yeah, it was
like a kid in a candy shop.
Yeah, a very, very expensive candy shop.
Yes. Very, very expensive candy shop.
Yeah. But they have a gorgeous brewery, for sure.
Oh, they do, for sure, yeah.
They also don't have many small tanks to play. It's all just huge tanks.
Very big tanks.
Lots of them.
I wish they'd get one small tank for Thor's Hammer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like a new version of it. I guess outside of hanging out here at the brewery in Richmond, is there any other places you guys would recommend people to come and check out and kind of draw them to the city? Because once they're here, they'll want to check out more.
Well, like Britannia's just down the road. I'd definitely give them a check.
And we got Monkey 9 down
the
street.
Monkey 9 is also the opposite direction of Britannia's.
Go check out a movie and have dinner before or have some beers after.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know it's good. And there's... lots of good eats around town that carry a lot of good beer. Like I said, Steveston's awesome.
Yeah, Steveston's great.
Good food, good beer. And it's definitely great. Just come down, you know, hit a couple of breweries, go get a bite to eat, and go see a movie. It's awesome.
Or maybe go down and walk on the Steveston walkway there. What do you call
it? For sure.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Lots of great seafood. A lot of cool places to check out.
As we kind of wind it up here, have you had a beer recently that you guys don't make that kind of just went, wow, the force is strong with this beer?
I drink a lot of other people's beers. It's. I'm just trying to think of one that wow. Like one of the better beers I've actually had recently outside of, your regular, you know, Yellow Dogs and Four Winds is one of the Kwantlen students named Xander. He did a single hopped... Galaxy Sour, and it's one of the better beers that I've had in the last little while.
And that's awesome, and it's a student beer too.
And like that course is producing some pretty awesome students and beers, and it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, well, you've got one of the students working here, former students working here.
Yeah,
right?
Tegan, we found Tegan through getting help from. From her for work experience, and she is one kick-ass brewer, and she's teaching me things that I didn't know, which is pretty awesome. And we're thankful every day that we found Tegan and she decided to work with us.
How about you? Do you have a beer that really stands out? Don't worry, this is a question that I can barely answer.
Really good. I get so drunk I forget about it.
The other day I was talking to Dan from Ravens, and his answer to that was this year's Singularity, which I agree, it was probably one of their best vintages they've had in quite a few years this year.
I missed this year's.
This was like the first year I missed too.
I only got one bottle this year. If you don't remember, I get that way too.
I don't know. The Twin Sales guys are producing some pretty good stuff.
Yeah. Boombox, Superflux.
They're all those guys are beer, whatever it's called, B-E-R-E. They're producing
beer brewing, yeah.
They're producing some.
I went there just after they opened and the beer was pretty damn solid. I haven't been back, but I've been hearing really good things lately and I want to go check that out again. There's just so many breweries.
Like, literally, I would be wasted 24/7 if I got a chance to try all of them.
I don't get to have enough other people's beer.
We're too busy making your beer for us to enjoy our beer.
Where can people find you guys online then?
Our social media, so Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. You can find us, Fuggles Warlock. FugglesWarlock.com.
Awesome. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed this episode, please head over to patreon.com/PacificBeerChat. We'd love if you would help support us if you think our content gives you some value. You can pitch in as little as a dollar, and we'll mention you on the website. $5 gets you a mention live on the show. And it'll also get you some bonus content we're creating every month. There's also some different levels where you can get
stickers, shirts, hats, and that kind of thing. So if you like our show and you want to help us out and help us make better content and upgrade our equipment, check out patreon.com/PacificBeerChat.
Find our show on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, YouTube, or your favorite podcast site or app at Pacific Beer Chat. Please leave us a review as it helps spread the word about the show and helps new listeners find our episodes. You can find Pacific Beer Chat on social media at Pacific Beer Chat on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Send us an email at feedback@pacificbeerchat.com with any feedback or comments. We'd love to hear from you. You can also find us at pacificbeerchat.com. We are part of the Hopped Up Network, an international craft beer podcast network. If you enjoy this craft beer-focused show, or any other craft beer-focused shows, check out hoppedupnetwork.com. And thanks to Tim of craftbeertourist.com for designing our brand new logo. Thanks to Kevin Ems of Conundrum for allowing us to use the song Lothian in the intro to the podcast. You can find Conundrum on Instagram and Facebook at Music of Conundrum. You can also find them at conundrum-music.bandcamp.com. To play us out, here is the full version of Lothian. Cheers.
Beginning of the end.